Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
President Biden wants regulations for pistols with stabilizing braces and for ghost guns, which have no serial numbers, as he called for more states to enact laws that allow police to temporarily seize guns from people deemed a danger to themselves or others. The president says his initiatives do not violate the Second Amendment. President Biden says he's taking action without congressional support, as he called on the Senate to pass legislation strengthening background checks.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Finally, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the key agency enforcing gun laws, hasn't had a permanent director since 2015. Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as a director of the AFT.
ATF.
David knows the AFT well.
ATF.
Their phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake and what we're talking about. But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
It's not AFT, it's ATF. It's ATF.
I'll make mistakes as president.
Joe Biden criticized Congress for praying in reaction to mass shootings. Wasn't that nice? He didn't even say Jesus in his Easter welcoming or his message to America. Now demanding they pass more gun control laws. Let me quote the man that sits in the Oval Office. God bless America. God bless you. God bless America. Right. Here's what the guy in the Oval Office said. They've offered plenty of thoughts and prayers, members of Congress, but they passed not a single new federal law to reduce gun violence. Enough prayers. Time for some action.
From the standpoint that this is perfect for them in terms of pushing their agenda, especially to appease the people who are on the far left side of this issue, all these anti-gun groups who literally just want to push their own agenda.
Yep.
So for me, this doesn't do anything to keep me safe or anybody else safe who's a gun owner out here in this country.
Right.
But they understand that. But as it goes, and I say time and time again, the ultimate goal is to gain control utilizing these measures, not necessarily to keep people safe, because these measures don't do anything to keep anybody safe.
That's Colin Knorr. He's an attorney and a gun rights activist standing up. This former ban on assault rifles had already happened. He's asking Congress to pass another ban. Support for eliminating legal immunity for gun manufacturers, calling it his most important legislative priority on gun control. So eliminating legal immunity for gun manufacturers. So let's say somebody gets drunk and they jump into a Ford and they take off and they run through kindergartners lining up for school and run over 20 kindergartners and kill them all. Is Ford held liable? Well, no, that doesn't make sense. Well, in the world of gun making, they now want to make, okay, you make a legal gun, a legal weapon, a legal firearm, a legal Second Amendment tool, and you can be sued because somebody wanted to go out and, I mean, once you start that up, right, what about kitchen knives? What if I went crazy in my neighborhood tonight? Could all my neighbors sue the kitchen knife manufacturer? He said if he gets one thing on his list, I'm going to quote Joe Biden here, ready? If I get one thing on my list, the Lord came down and said, Joe, you get one of these. Give me that one, Biden said, because I tell you what, there would be a come to the Lord moment these folks would have real quickly. Isn't it a come to Jesus moment? Meaning when you come and you realize he can't even say it that. He can't even say the word Jesus at Easter or even in that quote right there. This attorney, this gun rights activist, Colin Knorr, he's right on top of it. I'll let him speak.
Anybody who sees these shootings can immediately testify to the fact that the vast majority of these mass shootings happen in gun-free zones. And then a vast majority of these shooters got their guns legally. So what piece of legislation or law are you going to create to stop these types of things, except to put the people, the good people with firearms, in a position to better and easily protect themselves when stuff like this does happen, like getting rid of gun-free zones. But they never entertain that thought. Everything they do with respect to the gun control issue is based around how do you further restrict the right, making it harder for good people. It's always a punishment for the good people. Never anything that's actually designed to empower the good people to fight against bad people.
You know, Joe Biden declared that no amendment is absolute. That should send chills up your spines. The Second Amendment, actually, it's very simple and it's very much absolute. Oh, he's going after it, is he not? Let's listen to him talk about it not being absolute.
Today, we're taking steps to confront not just the gun crisis, but what is actually a public health crisis. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments. Phony. Suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about.
Oh, phony, just like the Georgia's voting polls shut down at 5 o'clock and him saying, Al, what are you going to do if you get off work? You can't vote. Yeah, phony like that, eh?
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. We call it freedom of speech. From the very beginning, you couldn't own any weapon you wanted to own. From the very beginning of the Second Amendment existed, certain people weren't allowed to have weapons. So the idea is just bizarre to suggest that some of the things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic. Let me say it again. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment.
There he goes, JB boy.
Think about it. The vast majority of criminals get their guns illegally on the black market anyway, or they're stealing their guns. So why are we even having this conversation when it doesn't do anything to actually, once again, make people safer? That why are we even talking about this, to be honest with you, with respect to the Biden administration? Less than 1% of gun deaths in this country are a result of AR-15s, which they falsely classify as assault weapons. But I can demonstrate and show you tons of cases where people had used AR-15s to protect themselves. So why are we even having this conversation? And if the goal was really, if it's really about you getting rid of the gun that causes the most damage, if they were being genuine about it, we'd be talking about handguns, because over 80% of gun deaths in this country are committed by way of handguns. So it's not about what gun does what. Let's get to the root cause of these issues and deal with them. But it's a lot easier to just say, you know what? Let's just punish the good people and restrict people's rights with legislation, because God forbid they actually roll their sleeves up and do the hard work necessary to actually deal with the underlying issues with respect to gun violence in this country.
Yeah, they won't. They won't go to the underlying issues. They won't even admit that the crime levels, you know, it's racist to even talk about crime levels. How do you even have a conversation when you can't even be honest about the facts? But one thing I can be honest about, Joe Biden is coming for your guns. He created a framework to stop the sale of what they call ghost guns, which really means guns that average citizens actually build themselves. And that might seem scary. What, people are building guns? Maybe you don't understand what humans are like, or even history, right? You want to talk about history? Let's talk about history. We don't have a right to have a gun because it comes from the Constitution. It comes from God. This is why the founders kept the Second Amendment real short. Your right to carry weapons shall not be infringed. Full stop, period. Let's go look at the last century. I mean, we could even go way back to some kings and whatnot, but they outlaw weapons among the people. That's what they're doing right now. Let's go back in time, since this isn't taught in history anymore. The Soviets promised that, oh yeah, you can keep your guns, but then they made it harder to buy them, and then made it really hard to own them, and then all you could have was a weak rifle to shoot at some varmints that might be going around. Then they starved, and tens of millions of their own citizens died. 1933, Germany made it hard for anyone except Nazi party members to own guns. And that's something how today's world, whether it's the Oscars, whether it's the State of the Union, whether it's Nancy Pelosi traveling, they're surrounded by guns, aren't they? The same kind of guns they're trying to ban on us. Same thing the Nazis did. On November 10th, 1938, look up the fact, historians, Germany banned Jews from owning guns. You just wait till it comes out to where they'll be like, well, these conservatives and the people that back January 6th, they're the ones that we need to go after with their guns in France. France took over Cambodia. It restricted the carrying of firearms in 1920. By 1953, impossible for any law-abiding citizen in Cambodia to even own a gun. Then what happened? Well, the French went away. In 1968, the communist Khmer Rouge, oh, they started slaughtering 25% of Cambodia's population. The killing fields, why don't you? They didn't have any weapons to fight back out in the field. That's why they were killed, and that's why it's called the killing fields. Mao took control of China in 49. What did he do? He moved to Joe Biden them. Disarmed the population. One of the worst mass genocides in history. The estimates are 20, 30, up to 55 million was a total killed. So those that think something like this would never, ever, never, ever, ever happen in America, because, you know, we're progressive, you know. Don't be naive to what's happened throughout history. And don't be naive that this guy doesn't have some serious dementia problems. He's got the nuclear codes. I mean, he's the guy that goes, yeah, fire him. And listen to this.
Finally. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the key agency enforcing gun laws, hasn't had a permanent director since 2015. Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as the director of the AFT. David knows the AFT well.
It's ATF, Joe. It's ATF. I mean, that's like going to FIB, the CAI. The UAS of I love the UAS. It's the USA, Joe, the USA. And bless his heart. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to remember things like that at his age. I mean, the guy he nominated. Oh, yeah, let's listen to his little nomination here.
Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as the director of the AFT.
Okay, David Chipman. He was a senior advisor of Bloomberg's anti-gun group, Everytown for Gun Safety. He wrote op-eds, including one for Politico. He calls on the ATF, to enact gun control because Congress has failed to pass legislation. Here is the ATF's director, our new director, Eddie. Our weak firearm laws make it all too easy for guns to fall into the wrong hands. And since Congress has failed to address these gaps legislatively, ATF must chart a new course to combat the scourge of gun violence. See, they're going to just do executive orders. Congress won't have anything to do with this. I mean, Congress doesn't have anything to do with it. They are the representatives of we the people. They're not going to have anything to do with it. They're just going to do the backdoor gun control, man. That's another thing. Another op-ed this Chipman cat wrote. He supports well-regulated part of the Second Amendment in regards to Virginia trying to pass gun control, including he's all for an assault weapons ban. He also wrote that he opposes those who abuse Second Amendment freedoms. Well, what would that mean? You either break the law or don't. What's an abuse of Second Amendment freedom? I mean, you either break the law or you don't. He's made it clear, this David Chipman guy, they're going to restrict the rights of law-abiding gun owners. And all along, we know exactly what they do. They ignore criminals. We'll be talking more about this afternoon. I told you yesterday how excited I was to talk to Christopher Bedford, senior editor at The Federalist. He's talking about also how we can stand up. And it applies to so many different areas. All day today, no matter what I turned on, radio, TV, no matter what I looked at, I was being told I need to get the vaccine. Get the vaccine. Get the vaccine. Well, some people in Colorado got it. I'll tell you what happened next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, Joe Biden also said he's working on a 600-mile-per-hour train. Why did he say it? He's insane. He really is.
There's much more that Congress can do to help that effort. And they can do it right now.
Pray.
They've offered plenty of thoughts and prayers, members of Congress. But they passed not a single new federal law to reduce gun violence. Enough prayers.
Did you hear that, God?
Time for some action.
Hear that, God? Enough prayers. Enough talking to God. A church in Alberta, Canada, speaking of talking to God, they can't worship him on Sundays. They've been shut down, fenced off by the Alberta government for the coronavirus rules. Oh, yeah, they had. I saw the pictures. Police, security staff around chain link metal fence, around the church building. Pastor spent a month behind bars. Guys, this is for church. For church. Two types of people in this world. And you might be somewhere in the middle, depending on what the circumstance is, what mood you're in, how much alcohol you've had. You know, people who stand up and people who shut up. It's almost in one's DNA. You know, it's almost hardwired. I can't help it, and one day it's probably going to get me shot. I was in a Habit store, and the guy in front of me is buying his cigarettes, and he told the guy behind the counter, he said, I hate when people park in handicapped that don't have the blue thing. And I saw the guy get out and run in the pizza place, and I looked out and saw the truck out there in the handicapped spot, and he left his little kids in there with his hazard lights flashing, ran into a Little Caesar's Pizza and came back out, and I happened to be walking out to my car at the same time, and I said, really? I go, really? You're not handicapped. You don't have a blue thing. And and his attitude was, really? You're really going to go there? That's what he kept saying. You're really going to go there? My response, what? You're really going to park there? Huh? Yeah, and the guy started being a real jerk, so I noticed he had a business on the side of his truck. So I said, oh, you're a businessman. Let me get my... As soon as he saw me going to my phone, he pulled his magnetic things right off his truck. I did get his license plate number, but if it's a misdemeanor, I asked Chief Balderrama yesterday, if it's a misdemeanor, it has to be a police there or something. So anyhow, he got in. Other people in the parking lot, when it was over, I got applauded. I even got a fist bump from a guy that pulled up in a truck. Now, I don't always do that. I don't always do that, but there are times I do stand up. And right now, we have to stand up. Quit digging your grave in this lockdown. I saw where Chuck Van Fleet, I saw he's Vino's Grill and Spirits, and he said that when they're opening up that they're going for banquets or whatever, you got to prove you have a vaccine. Anybody that wants to do a vaccine passport, I guess it's America. Go ahead. Go ahead. We can all also make our own decisions. You know, when they had the folks rolling in here to this restaurant, The code enforcement in Canada came in and tried to shut this restaurant down. And this owner, she didn't want to have anything to do with this. And boy, they really got into it. They tried to tell her she could not be open. And listen to what happened here. And this is what we need to do, because when we stand up, they cower. They walk away. I played you the Polish preacher. He didn't even give code enforcement. He said, out, out. Agent Squires got a hold of him on Facebook. Hopefully he'll be on the show next week. But listen to what they did in Canada in this restaurant. They weren't going to stand for it, and we need to have more of this here. Get this attitude. See what happens. Let's listen in here.
You're going to ask to leave.
Get out. Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Yeah.
Please get out. Get out of this property immediately. Get out. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out.
Of they kicked him out of the restaurant. Here he was kicking him out of the church.
You'll come back with a warrant. Out.
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 Out. Out.
Vaccines going up to 16 and 17-year-olds. Pfizer announced its vaccine is safe and effective, ages 12 and older. Let's GPS it. Let's go on a little trip. Let's go to Colorado right now. They had a major vaccination place. It was at a Dick's Sporting Goods in Commerce City. That's just a little burb outside of Denver there. And 13 people came down with some form of illness, adverse reaction to this. Officials in Colorado did not disclose the type of reactions. Oh, you mean there's HIPAA law and violations? You mean we actually have rights where you can't go ahead and tell the rest of the world what happened to somebody medically? Well, remember that. 1,700 people were given the shot at Dick's Sporting Goods. They're saying 13 people had adverse reaction. So I'll give you the good side and the bad side. The good side is I'm glad that it got here for those that are the most vulnerable that would need it. Operation Warp Speed has still not been FDA approved. No vaccine in the history of mankind's ever been rushed into people's veins this quickly. I'm somewhat apprehensive, and you know why? Because fill in the blank, a 99.whatever% you're not going to go down from this. How do you stand up? Especially if you're a conservative in America. He's the senior editor at TheFederalist.com. I talked about his article yesterday on the show, and we're going to talk to him next. Christopher Bedford's his name next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You know, yesterday on the show, I started the show. How does one small, simple person fight back? I'm asked that question. I don't know how to answer that question. I got excited yesterday when I saw the article at TheFederalist.com. It said, it's high time we make woke corporate America feel real pain. Here's how we can start. He's a senior editor at The Federalist. He's a frequent guest on Fox News, vice chair, Young Americans for Freedom, author, The Art of the Donald. Busy guy, originally from Massachusetts, now living under, I guess, federal troops in D.C., Christopher Bedford. Do you see the troops around town? And welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much for having me. And yes, I do. They had the street that I live on blocked by National Guard and armored vehicles and razor wire for a few months there. And now it's scaled back, but the troops are everywhere. And I tell you, our city is experiencing a crime surge right now because the mayor has decided in her wisdom to stop punishing criminals. And when these things happen right in front of the troops, I don't know if it's their orders or not, but they have not been helpful so far.
What's that feel like to live in America and look around and it looks like East Germany, the Berlin Wall feel?
It's so discouraging, and people don't realize it unless they're there. And fortunately, it has gotten better. It has pulled back. But there are people who I know who live just across the river in Virginia, or just across the river in Maryland, which are not far at all. And when they drive into town, they say, holy smokes, guys, I had no idea, because a lot of folks are trying to keep it off of corporate media. But to be walking around in your city, and it's a beautiful city, really classical architecture, and see shuttered businesses, boarded windows, troops on the streets, and razor wire up, it just makes your heart sink.
Well, there's a lot of guns being provided by the government in D.C., but you wrote Government is a Gun and How Conservatives Can Use That Weapon. Explain how it's not violent, but explain what you mean by that.
Well, there's always been an argument on the right, because the American right has always had a very libertarian streak to it, for better and for worse. And one of those arguments is that government is a gun. So it's not a good tool. It's not a bad tool. It's just a tool. And it can be used by good people and bad. So when you use it to try and regulate your opponents and to try and push conservative ideas, other than just removing government, but actually using it proactively, that's very dangerous, because you may have the gun this moment, but the other party is going to get it at some point. They're going to be in charge, and they're going to use those same tools against us. Now, that makes sense, this kind of non-aggression theory, in theory, but we're so far beyond it. We're at a point where the other side has been using the weapons of government over and over and over again very successfully, and we're at a point in this country where it's the strangest thing. The richest, the most powerful, the most elite in our country are targeting those who have less than them, who are less successful, who are less influential, who have less access to money and the power. It's almost an opposite class war against the middle and the poor, middle classes and the working classes, coming from our elites. And it's time that we use our government to stand up for us and make these companies, pay for what they're doing to try and hurt this country.
Yeah. Now, how does one small person, and you actually answered that, but you're talking about, you know, I was saying like holding rallies hasn't worked. You talked about, you know, senators and congressmen holding press conference hasn't worked. We got to make them feel the pain. And Christopher, I've been a baseball fan my entire life. I mean, my dad raised me a Dodger fan in Tennessee. We moved to California and I got to see the Dodgers when I was 13 for the first time. I still get the chills when I think about seeing that blue wall and that green grass and just the smell of Chavez Ravine in a ballpark. It's etched in my memory. I took my kids to ballparks. I haven't watched a baseball game all year. Last year, I didn't watch playoffs. I didn't watch the World Series. And for sure, now there's no coming back. But, you know, us boycotting, you know, the NFL got hurt in the ratings, NBA got hurt in the ratings, but they keep doubling down. Major League Baseball will. But explain how we can make them feel the pain by using that government gun and these bonds. Explain these municipal bonds.
So municipal bonds, I think, is one way to really make the owners of these teams start to rebel and say, hold on a second, we're not going to put up with this because it's going to go right for their pockets. And it's not going to be one viewer here or one viewer there. It's going to be massive and across the board. And it's not going to be something where they can just run to China because they need these stadiums to play. So what a municipal bond is essentially what towns use and cities use to fund public projects like a town library, a new town hall, or some roads or a bridge. And we can buy into these municipal bonds as private people, but they're backed by the government in a way that they do not pay federal taxes. Their interest rate is significantly lower than the rates set by the Treasury. So it's a very, very good deal, and it's made for cities. But cities have been giving it out to baseball stadiums, along with subsidies and all this kind of taxpayer money. So they're not paying the same kind of interest that you or I would take if we try to buy a house or even buy a car. They're not paying that same interest. They're paying a special rate. They're not paying taxes. It's coming out of our hide. And we're giving billions of dollars to companies to come here. It's been billions of dollars since the year 2000 spent on stadiums for just the major leagues. And these companies are making a lot of money. These team owners are not short on cash. And if you take the kids there to a baseball game, which is used to be America's pastime, a place we could all come together, you're spending $15 on a beer, $12 on three hot dogs, forget about cotton candy and soda, those prices, plus the tickets. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Take your family out these days, parking and everything. And why are they getting this free tax break? Why are we giving them billions on top? I think there's one way to come at them right away.
My guest, Christopher Bedford, senior editor at TheFederalist.com. Christopher, a lot of these cities are Democrat-controlled. How can Big Daddy government, firing that government gun you're talking about, how can we hit that target if it's going to be up to the cities? Could it be a federal mandate? How do we work it?
Well, the funny thing is the Democrats have long been more skeptical of these municipal bonds because they think of them as corporate handouts to rich old white men. They don't want that. They want that money going for schools. They want that money going for programs. Really, it's just going for the teachers' unions and to this activist group and to that activist group. But that's the thing that these guys have done that's very foolish. The same thing that big tech has done that's very foolish is their traditional defenders have usually been Republicans who are more friendly toward business. I think Republicans have gotten far too friendly toward business because they've mistaken big business for small town businesses that make a town run, that create a main street, that fund the sports teams, that create a middle class, that hire people, hire young people. They mistook that for the billion-dollar massive businesses like baseball, and Republicans have always been their defender. There's really no reason for that anymore. There's no reason for us to back them because they've made it clear that they're willing to take our money, turn around, attack our legislators simply for trying to say basic things like you need an identification in order to vote in our elections.
So maybe play their own game against them. Say, look at all these municipal bonds that are going to these old white guys that are making money. It should be going to schools and bridges and get everybody to go, yeah, you're right. Is that the way that we would do it?
Exactly. The left is not on their side, and the right is finally starting to realize that these guys, they're not on our side. We've always thought that the military and the private business were going to be more conservative leaning. Well, that day has passed.
I'm telling you, this corporate takeover, it's socialism because government and businesses, you know, work in tandem together. Government's not fully controlling them, but man, we've seen it. Let's switch it up now to something that everybody in California, I mean, if you work for the state, the county, you work in education, everybody's had to go through. I mean, I've had to go through HR training here of things that I'm like, really, huh? But you wrote, let's see how long it takes lawyers to call downstairs and ask exactly why a 25-year-old staffer berating their colleagues at a mandatory white privilege seminar. You're saying take it all the way to HR, and then I guess if you have to, get an attorney, and that takes guts.
I think you have to go beyond human resources, because unfortunately, human resources is run by all these kids in their 20s who are completely part of the woke ideology. It's human resources if you work at a major corporation. They're going to call you in and say, we've had a complaint about a hostile working place, and fire you for you so much as putting up an I stand with the blue or something like that on your personal Facebook page. People are afraid, and they're being silenced by these kind of guys. But there was a really interesting thing that the Department of Justice released under Donald Trump with Barr that said that this creates a hostile work environment. This kind of telling people, and you know, this should be common sense, telling people that because of the color of their skin, they're bad, they're horrible people, they need to change, there's a problem with them. That's just overt racism. That creates a hostile work environment for people who disagree with you politically, or people who are just simply white, or white men. And that is something that has given us the tool to be able to sue. Because hostile work environment's not just a namby-pamby term, it's a legal term. And it'll allow people to pull together and do class action lawsuits. Now, these lawyers in the top floor, they're not paying attention to all the crud that all the people beneath them have to do, what they think is the woke mob and this and that. But they will pay attention when lawsuits and civil action and class actions are coming across their desk in the top. They hear that, let's say it's Verizon, or let's say it's Starbucks. And I've heard from people in both those companies since I wrote this piece saying this is true. If you have 25, 35, 100 people signing on to a class action lawsuit against them saying this is a hostile work environment, those lawyers will shut it down right quick.
Well, let that word get out there. And I've said with our elected officials here in California, we're on our own out here. We truly are. I feel like I live behind enemy lines. And so you heard what Christopher said. 100 would really get the attention of it. And you're being pulled in and you're told that, as you write, the color of your skin makes you a bad person. And, you know, there's no HR complaint on this individual. It's based on Ancestry.com, right? Their great, 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 great grandpa owned slaves in 1844. So you obviously have systemic racism that needs to be worked out.
Yeah, and you have this absolutely overt racism. You've got columnists for major magazines like the New York Times, whose parents are immigrants to this country, who never experienced slavery in this country, whose parents immigrated here, took advantage of the American dream, did well, sent their kid to an Ivy League school. Now she's got a job that's one of the most elite jobs in the industry in the entire world for a newspaper job. And she sits there and demands reparations from people who came from Russia or Poland or Ireland. And it all comes back to this absolutely ridiculous idea that the only people who had it tough in the 19th century in the United States were former slaves, which is ridiculous. The sharecroppers, the factory workers, the hundreds of thousands of men who gave their lives on the front lines trying to end slavery and end the rebellion. Those people had very short and difficult lives. This was a human struggle. And why do recent immigrants or people who suffered or people who were poor or even the ancestors of people who did own slaves, why do they have to pay for that? It's complete madness.
It really is. Christopher, thank you for your time. In closing here, I want to ask you again, because there's people that heard what you said about the hostile work environment. You need 100 people. Actually, walk us through what would be step 1, 2, and 3 if somebody does want to organize this because they are feeling like they're working in a hostile work environment and they have nobody to stand up for them. So there's power in numbers. Step 1 would be what?
I would say try to see, and it's good, you have to be careful, and these things are winked and they're nodded. People are very quiet about what they think politically if they're conservative. See who's with you. See who'd be willing to join. Finding some of the people who are on their way out of a company, some of the people who are older, they typically have the ability to be a lot more brave because they don't have their whole career in front of them.
Good point.
They're not as worried about it. they're willing to make some noise, like I've heard from some executives who've emailed me since, because even executives are put under this. The next step would be to look up the documents that came out of the Department of Justice from Barr with hostile work environment and the racial training. And then you have to meet with a lawyer. If you don't have one among you, then go, and a lot of people don't, then go and try to meet with a lawyer who would be willing to take this on. And there are a lot of lawyers, and there are a lot of organizations, Freedom of the Individual, all these different wonderful organizations you can look up, that are willing to work pro bono for these kinds of cases, because they're landmark cases on free speech. People who you can talk to and say, hey, I've got a bunch of people in my company, and we've been subjected to this, and we think that we've got a lawsuit. Talk it over with them, and I think you'll get far.
Yeah, we have some, like Pacific Justice Institute. We use a lot of their attorneys. We interview them. We talk about it. Well, Christopher, it sounded like you got a great reaction to this article, and I was so excited when I read it yesterday. Go to thefederalist.com. The article's entitled, It's High Time We Make Woke Corporate America Feel Real Pain. Here's How We Can Start. His name is Christopher Bedford, author of The Art of the Donald. When did that title hit you?
That one hit me as soon as he was elected, and everyone's brains melted. I was up in Florida covering the Hillary campaign, their election party, and boy, it was like the apocalypse there. And I thought, I think I need to write a book about how this guy just did it. The Art of the Donald.
The Art of the Donald. Christopher Bedford, thank you, sir. God bless. We'll talk again soon. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, for those of you that listen to this show and are keeping track at home, we're on day 386 of the 15 days. That's 2 weeks and 1 day to flatten the curve. Have we checked our hospitals overrun? How are ICUs, Dr. Vora? Mayor Dyer, City Council, Board of Supervisors. I know June 15th, that's what the governor said. I don't trust them at all. I don't trust them. We need to open up in like now. Now. Why is this going on? I don't understand. Where's the evidence? Where's the facts? We have restaurants saying they're going to open up and require vaccine proof to do what do they call it when a bunch of people get together? Drawing a blank right now. When people get a party, yeah, but banquets. Thank you, Trevor, for remembering it. Banquets. Yeah, banquets, you're going to have, you know, everybody have to show their vaccine passport. No, we're not going to have vaccine passports. Yeah, we will. You know we will. You know that we will. The far left. Now, thank you again to Christopher Bedford, senior editor at thefederalist.com. Go to thefederalist.com. That article's called It's High Time We Make Woke Corporate America Feel Real Pain. Here's How We Can Start. And now I've come across another group, an organization. Remember former Trump advisor Stephen Miller? Well, he's now come out and started. See, the Democrats have this group called Lawfare, far left. They organize, they do attacks on everything that just fits their interest. It's made up of former Obama officials, former DOJ officials, and it's all about their political agenda. And many, if not most, of the attacks that come against conservatives come from inside this Lawfare network. Just think Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. They were the ones that organized that whole attack. During her Senate testimony, every time I hear this word, Christine Blasey Ford, remember her? Oh, I don't remember what happened, but something happened. She called this network, the Lawfare network, her beach friends. Her beach friends in her testimony. Well, now Stephen Miller, they've announced the launch of our own conservative Lawfare-like group. It's a counterforce, calling it the MAGA Legal Network, America First Legal. Mr. Miller said, quote, we'll tap into the expertise of Trump administration lawyers, work with the Republican state attorney generals, partner with lawyers around the country who need legal and financial resources for their cases. He said, we also have broader ambitions. We're going to get involved in litigation that goes beyond the Joe Biden administration, because we know.
I'll make mistakes as president.
Yeah, he said they're going to include to support police officers, go after big tech companies, take on other business interests whose positions run counter to those he embraced in the White House. Now, so it's launching MAGA-minded. It's called the America First Legal. And as Mr. Bedford from the Federalist was saying, if you got an organization, a company, a group, if you're a teacher, or a you work for the state, you work for the county, and there's 100 of you, even if there's 50, get started. Even if there's 5 of you, get started. And like he said, you got to do a little nod and a wink, right? Just go to him and ask him, hey, what do you think about this comment?
David Valadao, get rid of them all.
Yeah, if they go, well, yeah, I agree with that, then you'd be like, hey, you want to come to a little meeting, right? Bring your notepad and pencil. We got a class action lawsuit. I told you 2020, we look back at it as possibly the good old days, right? Oh, my word, a 600-mile-an-hour train? That's what the guy in the Oval Office says we're going to create. We'll talk about insanity next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.